listening to the Dental Chat Podcast with Dr. Sylvia Lobo Lobo.
Dr. Natalia Menjivar is in private practice in West Hartford and Avon, Connecticut. She joined Farmington Valley Orthodontics in Avon in 2014, and she practices at West Hartford Orthodontics with her partner, Dr. Donald Drew. Dr. Menjivar attended Vanderbilt University in Nashville, Tennessee, where she double majored in biology and Spanish. She went on to attend the University of Connecticut Health Center for Dental School, followed by a two-year orthodontic residency program at the University of Minnesota. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Menjivar. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's such an honor. Thanks for inviting me.
Can you tell our listeners how do braces work?
Sure. So when we think about braces, essentially there's three components that get them to function. You have the rectangular bracket, which is affixed to the tooth surface. It's connected by a wire. So the wire runs through the center of that rectangular slot of the bracket. And then a third component would be an elastomeric or elastic or metal tie that essentially engages the wire into the bracket. So interestingly enough, we use a lot of nickel titanium wires, and these wires have something known as shape memory. So what that means is when they get deformed or compressed, they want to spring back to their original size and shape. So it's kind of funny to think about, but in actuality, when we place our fingers and we push and engage that wire into the bracket and then secure it tightly, that we are essentially imparting energy into the wire that gets stored and then wants to recoil or rebound, taking the teeth with them. So crowded teeth or rotated teeth will eventually become straight if left long enough under the watchful eye of an orthodontist.
So how early should my child see the orthodontist?
So our professional association, which is the American Association of Orthodontists, recommends that all children be seen around age 7. It's around this time that we would expect that most young kids would have their first permanent molars, which we call the 6-year molars. And we usually anticipate also seeing the front 4 teeth, top and bottom, be permanent. So essentially those front teeth with the back molars sets up a tripod, and it's at that time that we can start to assess the bite, how both top jaws and bottom jaws are fitting, and also get a sense for some of the early issues that might be presenting, whether it's crowding, spacing, or other bite issues.
What is considered early orthodontic treatment, and when and why it might be needed?
Sure. So early orthodontic treatment is also known as interceptive orthodontics and also called phase 1 orthodontics. So basically, it's any orthodontic treatment that would be recommended for somebody who might be age 7, 8, 9, 10 that still has a mix of both baby teeth and adult teeth. So kids at these ages mostly wouldn't need any type of orthodontic treatment, but there is a small subset of patients who might benefit from having early orthodontic intervention. And those kids can typically benefit from addressing issues like cross bites or underbites, or kids who might have self-esteem issues and parents are asking for some sort of treatment. Other times too, we can help to recommend more urgent care at that time to avoid lengthier or more complex treatments later.
Can you explain what is the difference between a crossbite, an overbite, and an underbite?
Sure, absolutely. So a crossbite, essentially when we think about our bite, we want all of our top teeth to fit on the outside of our bottom teeth. Essentially the bottom teeth and bottom jaw should fit inside of the upper teeth. And anytime we have a crossbite, the reverse exists. So it's when we have upper teeth on the inside of the bottom teeth or bottom teeth on the outside of the top teeth. And crossbites can be classified. They can be single tooth or multi-tooth. They can be unilateral or bilateral. So when we think about unilateral crossbite, that's going to be all the teeth on one side of the top arch are tucked to the inside. When we think about a single tooth anterior crossbite, that we also typically call a scissor bite, might involve one tooth across the front that is essentially scissoring the lower front teeth. A crossbite typically can get different treatments depending on what type of crossbite. So if we talk about a unilateral or bilateral posterior crossbite involving the back teeth, that is often treated as part of a phase one or early orthodontic treatment with a palatal expander. That's probably the most commonly used appliance for phase one orthodontics. Most people have heard of it or know of it. Other simpler crossbites, maybe involving a single tooth, could be treated with something like bite turbos, which we use material on the bottom back molars to prop patients open. It gives relief to that scissor bite, and with the clearance needed, their tongue pressure can gently guide that tooth more forward. And some other types of crossbites can better be treated with some limited braces. Now, you mentioned the other term, overbite. So this is one a lot of lay people use, but often we'll interchange it with another common term we use in orthodontics called overjet. So these terms get mixed up and confused, but I've got a great analogy for you and for the listeners. So overbite, if you think of the way that we bite, chewing up and down, overbite is going to refer to the top to bottom or vertical overlap of the bottom teeth by the top teeth. So by itself, overbite is not a bad thing. We actually want to have an overbite. We want to have overlap of those teeth. We just don't want it to be too deep or too shallow for that matter. So ideal might be to have coverage of around 20 to 30% of those bottom teeth by the top teeth. We don't want it to be deep, like 100%. A very deep overbite could continue to wear those teeth over time, nor do we want it to be too shallow or non-existent and be the opposite of an overbite, which would be an open bite. The other term, overjet, if you think of a jet taking off on a runway, it's horizontally moving. Overjet refers to the horizontal distance between the upper, lower, and front teeth seen from the side. And so a lot of times we think of sort of bucky teeth or teeth that are more forward, more protruded. That's a significant overjet. And then the third term you mentioned, underbite, is actually a type of crossbite. Typically, we use it to refer to the fact of when the lower teeth are more forward than the uppers. And so it's kind of like the opposite of a significant overjet would be a negative or reverse overjet is an underbite. And often reflects that the jaws might not be in harmony, that we might have a more protruding lower jaw, which takes the lower teeth with it. And therefore, those teeth are in a type of crossbite called an underbite.
Can you tell our listeners things that should be avoided while using braces?
Absolutely. So there's going to be certain foods that are best avoided in braces, and those typically fall into two categories. We think about the really hard, crunchy foods, things that you might be worried about chipping a tooth on, things like granola or apples or carrots or certain nuts like almonds that can be really hard. And then the second category being the sticky, chewy, gluey foods. I think the ones that come to mind most often would be certain candies like Starburst, Laffy Taffys, probably not the best for our teeth anyways. Also want to avoid certain habits like nail biting, chewing on ice or water bottles or pen caps. These are things that can break brackets and cause us to revert in treatment and set ourselves back in the progress that may be made. Also, I try to encourage, you know, not focusing on limitations so much as trying to encourage our patients to find acceptable alternatives. So if you like apples, make sure that you cut them into small diced pieces, or better yet, go for applesauce. If you like carrots, you can steam them. Instead of choosing the hard, crunchy granola bars, go for the chewy kind. That same philosophy applies for cookies or chips or crackers or things like that. Try to go with a thinner type.
Any advice on how to best clean the teeth while on orthodontic treatment?
Sure. So regular toothbrushing, whether it's with a manual toothbrush or an electric brush, both can be equally effective when used well. So recommending our patients 2 to 3 times a day that they're following through with brushing. Also, angling that toothbrush and the bristles so that they're meeting the tooth above and below the braces is really important, especially focus on brushing at the gum line. So where the tooth and gum meet, that's an area where plaque can accumulate and irritate the gums. And if left, can cause permanent white marks on the teeth. So we really want to make sure the brushing is in tip-top shape. Flossing is also equally important. Our brush bristles, whether we have braces or not, just can't access that surface of the tooth between the teeth, and that's where floss comes in. And obviously it is going to take a little longer. It is going to be a little bit more challenging, but certain tools like super floss or floss threaders have a stiff end that can help you guide that end of the floss in between the braces, almost like threading a needle. Takes some time at first, but like anything, practice helps make perfect. We can also recommend high fluoride toothpaste for our patients, such as Prevident 5000. Again, just in an effort to reduce risk for cavities. Also super important to keep up with the biannual check with your dentist. I think sometimes patients think, oh, we've got a break from going to the dentist, but that's not the case. It's equally, if not more important to keep up with those cleanings.
Can you tell us the difference between clear aligners and braces?
Sure. So we've spoken a little bit about braces. They are the fixed appliance fixed to your tooth surface. Clear aligners are probably most well-known brand would be Invisalign, are going to be a series of clear plastic removable trays that sequentially move your teeth to the final desired position. Probably some of the biggest differences between clear aligners and braces are, first off, that they are clear. Second, that they are removable. And third, that they don't require any modifications to your oral hygiene routine or to your diet because they are removed for eating. So they certainly have a lot of advantages, but some things to keep in mind are that they are case dependent, so they're not going to be suitable for each and every patient. And they definitely, in order to work, require somebody who's going to be compliant and self-motivated, somebody who's going to be able to wear the aligners for the recommended full time of 20 to 22 hours a day and stay on track with changing those aligners when needed, making sure to keep them clean and not lose them. So we often think of them for adult patients who are more maybe internally self-motivated and potentially older teens.
What are some of the benefits of a sports mouth guard while on braces?
Yes, so important. So interestingly enough, the braces connecting the teeth almost act like a splint. So it's would be less typical to lose a tooth on impact. However, the presence of the sports mouth guard there for any of our athletes in braces is really there to protect from a soft tissue injury. So to protect from the lips or cheeks pushing into the braces upon impact. And that could really happen in any sport. If you think about it, getting a knee or elbow to the face, I think we tend to think of the use of the mouth guards for the higher impact sports, things like football or wrestling, lacrosse, rugby, hockey, but even sports like basketball and soccer, you could certainly have some of that physical contact and get, you know, a ball to the face or a knee to the face. True orthodontic emergencies don't happen that often, but certainly the ones involving athletes not wearing sports mouth guard and the lips and cheeks potentially pressing into the braces rise to the top.
Can you talk about braces for adults?
Sure. So I used to have a saying that we treat patients age 7 to 77, but that's not quite true anymore. In fact, more recently, I had a patient interested in having an orthodontic consultation who was age 85. Wow. So we are definitely living longer. We're wanting to preserve both form and function. I think orthodontics is you know, equally about the appearance and aesthetics as it is about the function of our bite and wanting to preserve our teeth for our entire lives. Also, it's nice that as adults, we have a lot more clear options, such as the clear aligners like Invisalign that I mentioned, as well as clear braces, which are now made of ceramic. So it doesn't have to necessarily be the metal that's on display when we think of a metal braces for teenage patients. We can have it be a little bit more subtle and under wraps. Also, these days, all of our equipment is lower profile and more comfortable, and I think it's not quite the braces of 20 or 30 years ago.
Dr. Manjivar, can you tell our listeners what are retainers and why are they so important?
Sure. So we've got a saying, get them straight and then keep them straight. So the first part of treatment is obviously the alignment and finishing the orthodontic tooth movement. But the second part of treatment really starts when the braces come off or the aligners are completed. And that's where it becomes so important to hold and maintain that finished product. And that we do with retainers. So retainers typically fall into two categories. There are removable retainers, which are very similar to what an Invisalign clear aligner might look like. They're comfortable. They fit your teeth. It's essentially a clear plastic removable tray and something that our patients would wear basically nighttime for lifetime. Second style of retainer is more of a fixed or permanent wire retainer option that could be glued to the backs of the upper or lower front teeth. And that's pretty case dependent and also provider specific. And that could still be used in conjunction with the clear removable retainer. I think a lot of people are surprised when we talk about the use of retainers nighttime for lifetime and that it is a long-term commitment. But if you think about it, nothing else in our bodies is fixed or permanent. You know, my young patients always joke when I talk about the fact that our hair does turn gray and our vision changes and our teeth are not in cement and that they really do keep moving. It's obviously a very slow movement. In some cases, you know, patients' teeth may want to relapse more quickly, but the typical movement that comes over time is as the decades roll on, teeth are going to keep shifting ever so slightly. And that movement, you know, could change from being imperceptible to being something that now patients in their 50s or 60s or older are noticing and are annoyed with that may prompt them to want to seek treatment. So obviously anyone who has gone a few nights or longer without their retainers and goes to put them in notices that feeling of them wanting to be tight. That's their body's way of letting them know that those teeth are indeed still wanting to move and they will always want to move even just a little bit.
Any last comments?
Yeah, I would just tell everybody that knowledge is power. You don't have to wait for a referral from your dentist to find out if you're a good candidate for orthodontics and to see if your issues with your bite or smile can be addressed. The other thing too, I would say is that for children, the orthodontist is really the growth and development expert. If you think about it, the majority of our patients fall between those ages of 7 and 14 or 15. And at that time, patients are making the transition from their baby teeth to their adult teeth. So we're in a unique position to identify any aberrant issues that might be underlying in your child's tooth development. We're able to immediately identify if something is sort of out of the realm of normal or what we would expect for this age and stage in the tooth growth and development. So it's a wonderful opportunity to establish yourself with an orthodontic office, have a professional be guiding and monitoring that transition that's happening from baby teeth to adult teeth. And the other added bonus is that oftentimes these new patient visits and subsequent observation visits are typically provided at no cost. So it's really a win-win situation.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today and teaching us about orthodontics.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me and congratulations on this wonderful endeavor.
Thank you to our listeners for joining us today.
please take a moment to rate and review us wherever you get your podcast. If you would like to recommend topics to discuss in this podcast, please visit the website www.dentalchatpodcast.com or email me at dentalchatpodcast@gmail.com. Disclaimer: the purpose of this podcast is to educate and to inform. This is not a substitute for professional dental care or intended for the diagnosis or treatment of individual conditions.